الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we had read what the author he mentioned about الركن الثاني من أركان الصلاة, about the second pillar from the pillars of الصلاة, and the author he clarified that that is تكبيرة الإحرام. Takbiratu al-Ihram, the takbira of al-Ihram, and he entering into the sacred state of as-salah. We have seen likewise some of the details the people of knowledge they mentioned with regards to this pillar. After this, the author he says, وَبَعْدَهَا الْإِسْتِفْتَاحُ وَهُوَ سُنَّةٌ قَوْلُ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. So the author after this he says, وَبَعْدَهَا الْإِسْتِفْتَاحِ, and after it, meaning after تَكْبِيرَةِ الْإِحْرَامِ, after making the takbira of al-Ihram, entering into the sacred state of Salah, the author he says, after that الْإِسْتِفْتَاحِ. الْإِسْتِفْتَاحِ is the opening supplication. He says, وَهُوَ سُنَّةِ, and it is a sunnah, meaning it is something that is recommended and not an obligation from the obligations of the Salah. Meaning that it is something recommended and not an obligation from the obligations of the Salah. And then he clarified and he mentioned, Rahimahullah, قَوْلُ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. And that is the statement, سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ, O Allah, glorified are you. وَبِحَمْدِكَ, O Allah, glorified are you, and with all praises. Meaning, أُسَبِّحُكَ يَا اللَّهُ, وَسَبِّحُكَ يَا اللَّهُ مَعَ كَوْنِي حَامِدًا لَكَ, meaning that I'm glorifying you. I glorify you, O Allah, while praising you. I glorify you, O Allah, while praising you. وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ, and blessed is your name. وَتَعَالَ جَدُّكَ, and lofty and high is your majesty and greatness. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ, and there is no true God worthy of worship besides you. Besides you. After this, the author he moves into the explanation of this affair, explaining these terms in brief detail. He says, وَمَعْنَى سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ أَيْ أُنَزِّهُكَ التَّنْزِيهَ اللَّائِقَ بِجَلَالِكَ يَا اللَّهُ, أَيْ أُنَزِّهُكَ التَّنْزِيهَ اللَّائِقَ بِجَلَالِكَ يَا اللَّهُ. He says the meaning of سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ is that أَيْ أُنَزِّهُكَ, and he clarifying the meaning or what is intended from the word at-tasbih. And we have seen that in the Arabic language, these terms, they have a number of meanings, and they may differ or vary according to the context. And from the meaning of at-tasbih, and what is indicated from that, is at-tanzih. And this is to free Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from every defect and every deficiency, from every fault and every error, from every aspect. And we have seen similar like this in the linguistic understanding, التنزيه, in the condition with regards to النجاسات, or with regards to الطهارة. Whenever we spoke about طهارة and the definition of الطهارة linguistically, what was that? The definition of الطهارة linguistically, لغتان, النزاهة. النزاهه, the mean it's from the same root, النزاهه عن الاكثار, النظافه والنزاهه عن الاكثار الحسيه والمعنويه, النظافه والنزاهه. This is the shahid here, النزاهه, this term here, التنزيه, is from النزاهه, and it to be purified and to be clean and to be far away from the impurities. So الطهارة, and linguistically, as has preceded, النظافه, cleanliness, والنزاهه عن الاقذار الحسيه والمعنويه, and to be free and far from all foul and lowly things, tangibly, and physically or spiritually, and to be far away from that. So the نزاهه here is understood to be far from filth and far from every lowly thing and dirty thing, filthy thing in manners and conduct, and likewise filthy thing that is physical, the physical impurities. So التنزيه is to make that, is to do that, is to believe that. So therefore, al-Muslim يسبح الله عز وجل, يعني ينزهه and التنزيه اللائق به سبحانه وتعالى, meaning he will glorify him and free him from every fault and every mistake and every deficiency. He will free him from every fault and every error and every mistake and every deficiency in every aspect without denying any of his beautiful attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the author is referring to. أي أنزهك التنزيه اللائق بجلالك يا الله. Meaning I glorify you in a manner that is suitable for your majesty, O Allah. I glorify you in a manner suitable for your majesty, O Allah. O Allah. But the meaning, I glorify you, this is the point to understand. Because the word subhanaka, this one will say, I glorify you. But the people of knowledge, they clarify that that tasbih, it's tanzih. So what does it mean to glorify Allah? What does it mean to glorify Allah? Unazihuka. This is what it means. Meaning, I free you, O Allah, from every defect and every fault and every deficiency. أنزهك عن كل ما لا يليق بجلالك. I free you from everything that's not suitable or proper for your majesty and your glory. I free you from that. Meaning I believe that you have no faults and no mistakes. You have no errors, not in your beautiful names and not in your lofty attributes. And likewise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has no deficiency in his essence or in his actions. And likewise, he has no partner or one sharing with him in his perfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his attributes are perfect, and his actions are perfect, and his life is perfect. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no deficiency, he has no weakness, he has no fault, and he has no partner and none sharing with him in his authority and command and in his status. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning here. Unazihuka atanziha la'iqa bijalalika ya Allah. I glorify you and praise you and free you from every defect and fault in the manner that is suitable for your majesty. And the manner that is suitable for your majesty, O Allah. And again, these are from those terms that are repeated often in the life of a Muslim. But they have great meaning. And likewise, they entail a great creed. A great creed. These terms, they have great meaning and understanding. And they should be understood properly and become al-aqidah al-rasikha fi qalbi al-abd, that they should be a firmly grounded creed in the heart of a believer. Similarly, like that which has preceded in the previous class, the takbira, the statement Allahu Akbar. This is a statement and a creed. This is a statement and a creed. And whenever that creed is firm in the heart and deeply rooted, then it will bring the fruits of submission and surrender and complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public and private. In public and private. Likewise, this is from that affair. Subhanak Allahumma. I glorify you, O Allah. Meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal, he has no defects. He has no defects and no weaknesses. Not from any aspect and not in any manner. And this is an indication that all of his attributes are perfect. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is a type of negation. A tanzih is a type of negation. Is a type of negation. So it's negating faults and negating mistakes, negating errors, negating weaknesses, negating partners, negating a wife, negating a child, negating any need from anything in the creation whatsoever, negating all of that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the tanzih, whenever the tanzih is understood like the author he's saying properly, or the nafi, whenever the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful, his beautiful and lofty attributes are mentioned in the book of Allah. Sometimes his perfection will be clarified by negation. Sometimes the perfection of Allah will be clarified by negation. Al-Hayy alladhi la yamut. He is the one who was alive and never dies. So this is the negation of death from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, he never dies. So anytime there is an attribute that is negated in the book or in the sunnah, it's not simple negation. Or it's not pure negation. It's not a nafyu al mahd. It's not pure negation. Rather, what is intended from that is to negate that aspect of deficiency and to affirm its perfect opposite. And to affirm its perfect opposite. So if we say, if Allah, he has negated from himself death, that Allah, he does not die, that he's not described with the attribute of death, then this indicates that his life is perfect. This indicates that he has the perfect life. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he had negated from himself a sahiba, a wife, or he negated from himself a wadid, a son, meaning that his power and authority and his ghina, he is completely strong and in absolute no need of anything whatsoever. In absolute no need of anything whatsoever, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he does not have a wife, and he does not have a child, and he does not need anyone to help him or to aid him. He does not have partners, he does not have peers, he does not have anything that resembles him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the benefit here is that this tanzih al-la'iq billahi azza wa jal, this necessitates to affirm the attributes of perfection for him. So anytime an attribute is negated, and from the attributes of Allah azza wa jal, this necessitates and requires and is understood from that the opposite of that is affirmed for him in the most perfect manner. That the opposite of that is affirmed for Allah azza wa jal in the most perfect manner. So after this, the author, he says, وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَيْ ثَنَاءً عَلَيْكَ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَيْ, the author, he says, أَيْ ثَنَاءً عَلَيْكَ, meaning I'm praising you, meaning I'm glorifying you at the same time while praising you. At the same time while praising you. So the tasbih, it clearly has the meaning of a tanzih. You need to free Allah from every fault and every mistake and error, from every fault and every defect and deficiency, and from every partner, from every aspect. And it's understood from that Allah, he has the perfect attributes, that he has the attributes of perfection, because he has no deficiency, not in his life and not in his knowledge, not in his wisdom, not in his mercy, not in his love, not in his power, not in his authority, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore this necessitates that he has the absolute perfect life and the absolute perfect knowledge and the absolute perfect hearing and seeing and the absolute perfect command and authority and power, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is understood in the tasbih itself, when you say subhanallah. When you say subhanallah, the meaning is direct for the tanzih and the glorification, but it's understood from that and required in the proper understanding that Allah also has the praise. But sometimes they're mentioned together, like in this case. So the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa bihamdika, alhamdulillah, to say alhamdulillah, this is to affirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all of the attributes of perfection. To affirm for Allah Azza wa Jal all of the attributes of perfection. Alhamd is a sana, like the author he's mentioning, but it's coupled with love and magnification. And it requires ithbat jami' al-mahamid illahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to affirm for Allah all of the praiseworthy traits, all of the attributes of perfection from every aspect are affirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, that's why he's worthy of praise. So therefore, we say alhamdulillah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. So alhamdulillah, this means to praise Allah. But this means to praise Allah with love. And Allah, he's praised for his beautiful names and his attributes of perfection. He's praised for this. He's glorified for this. He's praised because he is the one who is alive and never dies. He's praised because he is the one who knows all things and nothing is hidden from him. And he's praised because nothing happens in his creation except based upon his knowledge and ultimate wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and according to his will and authority. And that which he decrees is good, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's praised for all of his attributes of perfection. But likewise, he's also praised for his blessings and favors. But also he's praised for his blessings and favors. And there is no blessing or favor, no goodness in this life, nor in the hereafter, except that it is from Allah. وَمَا بِكُمْ بِنِعْمَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. And whatever you have from blessing, whatever you have from favor, whatever you have from goodness, in your health or your wealth, and your body, or in your family, or in your home, or in your finances, and your religion, and your deen, and your creed, and your belief, and your worship, all of that blessing and favor, all of that goodness, it is from Allah alone. So therefore, he's praised for that. So the hamd, the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal, the mentioning of praise, this is coupled with love and magnification. And Allah, he's praised for his beautiful attributes of perfection. And likewise, he's praised and thanked for his blessings and favors, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the word praise, it has the meaning of thanks. But the thanks is specific for the blessings of Allah. He's praised, tabaraka wa ta'ala, for his beautiful names and attributes of perfection. And he's praised and thanked, tabaraka wa ta'ala, for his favors and blessings. For his favors and blessings. So every favor and blessing is from Allah. So therefore a believer, he will praise Allah and thank him. He will say alhamdulillah. Yani that Allah, he has the attributes of perfection. That all of the attributes of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever are affirmed for Allah from every aspect and every manner. From every aspect and every manner. And likewise, all of the blessings and favors, all of the good that one has and experiences in this life and in the hereafter is all It's all from the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal, so therefore he's praised for that. So here they come coupled together. Yani, so Allah, he's praised. Why is he praised? Because he has the attributes of perfection. So likewise, it's understood he has from that no deficiency. So these terms here, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, they have very similar meanings. One of them is direct and negating faults and errors from Allah Azza wa Jal, and the other one is direct and clear and affirming all of the attributes of perfection for Allah Azza wa Jal. But likewise, each one of them necessitates the other. The fact that Allah, he has no deficiency whatsoever, this means that he has the attributes of perfection. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has all of the attributes of perfection, this necessitates that he has no deficiency whatsoever. So therefore we glorify Allah while praising him. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. So he's interpreting these terms here individually. Wa bihamdika ay thana'an alayka. Yani while praising you. While praising you. Then he says, وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ أَيْ الْبَرَكَةُ تُنَالُ بِذِكْرِكَ أَيْ الْبَرَكَةُ تُنَالُ بِذِكْرِكَ وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ and blessed is your name. And blessed is your name. The author, he says, rahimahullah, أَيْ الْبَرَكَةُ تُنَالُ بِسْمِكَ, meaning that blessing is obtained by way of your name. And there is nothing in life except that whenever Allah's name is mentioned, blessing and barakah comes. And the ease comes into the life of a believer. And many times a believer, he will know that from himself. He will know that from himself in his life experiences. And many times maybe he's trying to achieve something in his daily affairs and he's heedless of the name of Allah. And then it will not be for the fact that Allah will bless him and remind him. And he will mention the name of Allah. And at that moment things will go together. He will forget to say the name of Allah. Bismillah. Or he'll forget to praise Allah and thank Allah and the likes like this. And then as soon as he remembers Allah, Bismillah, that which he was looking for, he finds it. Or that which he was trying to put together and is difficult, it becomes easy and becomes facilitated. In any case, this meaning here is that the blessing and the good of this life and the hereafter is obtained by mentioning the name of Allah. وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ. And this word here is from those words that are specific to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Tabaraka. Tabaraka is only to be used with the name Allah. Tabarakallah. Tabarakallah. This term here is only allowed to be used with Allah. Blessed is Allah. Blessed is the name of Allah. Blessed is Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's not allowed to use this term for anything in the creation. You cannot say Tabaraka Fulan. Tabaraka Fulan. That you say barakallahu fi fulan, or barakallahu li fulan, or barakallahu fulanin. In this manner like this, all of this is allowed. Because al-barakatu min Allah. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned. And it's been affirmed from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from his miracles, that at one time he was with maybe 1,400 of his companions, and they had no water. Only a little bit of water. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put his hands in the water. And then he mentioned the name of Allah, and he says al-barakatu min Allah. He mentioned the name of Allah, calling on Allah Azza wa Jal, and then he said al-barakatu min Allah. The blessing is from Allah, and said, wallahi, I saw the water gushing from his fingers, gushing from between his fingers. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they all made wudu and they drank and took their full. The point is that here, whenever this miracle happened, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after making dua, then he says, al-barakatu min Allah. The blessing is from Allah, it's not from me. The blessing of this increase in water and this miracle that's occurring now, and the fact that all of you before were very thirsty and in need of water, and likewise in need of making wudu, and now it's all provided for you all at one time in this amazing manner, and which is clearly from the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a blessing from Allah. So you couldn't even say Tabaraka Muhammadun waliyadu billah. This is a mistaken error. This is a mistaken creed. If a person, he truly believed that, and in any case, it's a mistake in the term. And this is likewise what Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned clarifying the proper creed. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. And he made me blessed. And in Allah, he made me blessed wherever I may be. So this is by understanding the Arabic language, the proper creed, مُبَارَكًا with the fatha on the ra, with the fatha on the ra, mubarakan, yani that the blessing occurred to him, and he meaning that the blessing came to him from Allah. Allah, he made him blessed. He's not blessed by himself. He's not blessed from his own blessing. Rather, the blessing that he has is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu al-mubarik. Allahu al-mubarik. Wa yubariku Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala fima sha'a min khalqihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he is the one who gives and bestows the blessing. And he puts blessing in that which he wills from his creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this term here is for Allah alone. Allah, he is the possessor of blessing. He is the one who has authority and control over blessing. And blessing is obtained only by mentioning his name. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tabaraka smuka. Wa tabaraka smuka wa ta'ala jadduka. Wa ta'ala jadduka. Likewise, this term as well. Ta'ala is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And high and lofty. And magnified is, and high and lofty is your magnificence. And your is your magnificence and your glory. High and lofty is your magnificence and your glory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Al-Ali, Al-A'la. He is the Most High. There's nothing above Him. هو الظاهر الذي ليس فوقه شيء. He is the one who is the Most High. There's nothing above Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing above Him. He is high. In His essence, He is high. He is above the creation. Allah Azza wa Jalla, in His essence, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is above the creation. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. He is above the creation, above the throne, in the manner befitting His Majesty. He himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not lowly in this creation, in the dunya, in this worldly life. The dunya, it means something that's lowly. It means something that's lowly. I mean, from the linguistic meaning of a dunya is to be the one that is lowly, or the one that is first, and the likes like this, or the lower level. And Allah, he's not in the dunya. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is above this life. He's above this creation. He's above this world. He's above the jannah. He's above his throne, and a manner befitting His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, in His attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is above. He is above everything. He is the Most High in His essence and the Most High in His attributes, the Most High in every aspect subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, in His authority and command, nothing can overcome Him. Nothing can overpower Him. He al-wahid al-qahar. He is the one and only, the irresistible, and everyone is returning to Him. He is the Most High. He has the authority and command. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this term is used for Him alone. Wa ta'ala. Wa ta'ala jadduka. Wa ta'ala jadduka. The people of Nar, as they mentioned the word jadd here, it means azama. Wa ta'ala jadduka yani azamatuka. Wa ta'ala jadduka yani ta'ala azamatuka. That your majesty is high and lofty. That your majesty and your greatness is high and lofty. High and lofty is your majesty and greatness, O Allah. So the word jid in the Arabic language, it has a number of meanings. The people of Nar, as they mentioned, it has three meanings. The word jid. And it's very important to understand these terms. Maybe somebody who is learning the Arabic language, he may misunderstand what is intended from the likes of this supplication. Or other than that, from the times when this term is used in the text. A person, when he first begins learning the Arabic language, he learns that al-jiddu huwa abu al-ab. Al-jadd huwa abu al-ab. That the jadd, he is the father of the father. Abu al-ab wa abu al-um. The father of the father. Or the father of the mother. He's called the jadd. But the Arabic language, as has preceded, is rich. In one word, it carries more than one meaning according to the context. And that's not the meaning in this context. And also, it has another meaning as well. And it's al-hawdhu wa-nasib. Al-hawdhu wa-nasib. You have to have a portion of something. To have a portion of something. Al-halv is to literally have, to have something. A portion of something. To have some goodness. Or a nasib. Also similarly to the same meaning. A portion of something. So this is from the meanings of this term here. But that's not likewise what is intended, and Allah knows best. What is intended here is al-dhama. Is al-dhama. And this is also from the meanings of this word jid. So the word al-jid, it has three meanings. It has three clear meanings. The first one is the grandfather. And the second one is a portion of something. Al-Hawdhu wa-Nasib. And the third one is Al-Azama, greatness and majesty. Greatness and majesty. That's what is intended here. That's what is intended here. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ يَنِي عَظَمَتَكَ. That your majesty and your greatness is high and lofty. The author, he says, أَيْ إِرْتَفَعَ قَدْرُكَ وَعَظُمَ شَعْنُكَ. irtafa'a qadruka wa 'azama sha'nuka, meaning that your rank and status is lofty, and your majesty is high and great. Your majesty and your honor is high and great. So this is that meaning. This is that meaning. So this term here, is an indication of the importance for us to learn the Arabic language. To learn the Arabic language in a good manner. To learn the Arabic language fluently. To where one, he is able to understand the Arabic language. And whenever the Arab speak, or whenever he hears the speech of the Arab, yani, or the speech that's in the Arabic language, for example, the speech of Allah, which is in the Arabic language, or the speech of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in the Arabic language, or the speech of the scholars, also which is in the Arabic language, or even the speech of the Arab themselves, from the students of knowledge, and even from the layman and the likes like this, he will understand what they intend. Because the one who learns the Arabic language, he will understand what is intended from the context of the speech. It will not be confusing for him. Same thing whenever learning the Arabic language fluently as well, one will not need the haraka anymore. The harakat, the fatha and the kasra and the dhamma and the likes like that, he will not require these anymore to be able to read. He will know what the word is because he has acquired a proper vocabulary and he understands from the context that which is intended. Somebody, he may see the word madrasa. The word madrasa could be pronounced in more than one way. You can say madrasa or mudarrisa. 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 So mudarrisa is a human being, is a person, is a woman, she's a teacher. But madrasa is a place, is a school. So you wouldn't want to mix them up. But the person who's reading and he knows the Arabic language, he'll pronounce it properly. He'll pronounce it properly because he knows the context and he knows the Arabic language. So this is something to encourage. Some people, they learn the Arabic language, even they have diligence to study, but they don't learn it properly. They just learn some things about the Arabic language and they never become fluent. And they never become strong, and they never truly understand the context of sentences, and they can't read fluently or properly. They can't read fluently and properly, I mean without harakat. Maybe a person, he doesn't know a word of Arabic, but he could read very fluently if he has the harakat. If he has the harakat. But as for if he didn't have the harakat, he'll be lost, and he will not know how to read anything, because he does not know what he's reading. He does not know what he's reading. So it's very important and very beneficial. Very, very important and very beneficial to be concerned with learning the Arabic language and spending money and spending time, spending effort until a person, he becomes fluent in the Arabic language. Until a person, he becomes fluent in the Arabic language. And now his tongue will be the tongue of the Arab. So now his tongue will be the tongue of the Arab. And likewise, his ear as well. He will understand and he will benefit. He will understand and he will benefit. In the supplication that is well known, it's legislated to mention in more than one place in the prayer and after the prayer. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tait, wa la mu'athiya lima mana'at, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka al-jadd. There's that term again. We said it has three meanings. What's the meaning here? Wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka al-jadd, wa la yanfa'u dhal jadd, yani sahib al-jadd minka الجد صاحب الجد لا ينفعه جده منك, يعني his grandfather, your grandfather will not help you against Allah. Is that the meaning of جد here? صاحب النسيب أحسنت الغنى, يعني the poor صاحب, that's the meaning here. الحظ والنسيب, الحظ والنسيب, also another term that has a synonym is الغنى, يعني a person's wealth and his prosperity. لا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد, يعني لا ينفع صاحب الغنى منك غناه, يعني meaning a person's wealth and his prosperity, his portion that he has from the worldly life, will not defend him against Allah. Will not defend him against Allah. He's not able to buy his way out. He's not able to buy his way out. He's not able to use anything in the worldly life to avoid the accountability in front of Allah. And the recompense from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد, يعني ذا الحظ والنسيب, يعني الغنى منك حظه ونسيبه وغنى, يعني meaning a person, his portion of this worldly life, his wealth and that which he has from good and prosperity and health and children and the likes will not benefit him against Allah Azza wa Jal. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. On a day, meaning the day of resurrection, that no wealth nor child will be able to benefit a person except for the one who comes with a clean heart. Except with the one who comes with a clean heart. A heart that says Allahu Akbar and it means it. A heart that says Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik and it means it. And it means it. That's the clean heart. That's the means for the clean heart. In this manner. So again, the importance of learning the Arabic language. وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّ أَيْ رَتَفَعَ قَدْرُكَ وَعَظُمَ شَأْنُكَ. Then he says, وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. And there is no ilah, there is no ilah worthy of worship beside you. He says, أَيْ لَا مَعْبُودَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ بِحَقٍ سِوَاكَ يَا اللَّهِ. He said the meaning of this statement, وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ, is that there is nothing that is worshipped in truth in the earth nor in the heavens except for you, O Allah. There is nothing worshipped in truth. There is nothing worshipped in truth, not in the earth nor in the heavens except for you, O Allah. Meaning everything that's worshipped in the heavens or in the earth besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship. Whether it's the sun, the moon, or the stars, or the rest of the planets, or whether it's the angels, or whether it's the prophets and messengers, or the righteous, the awliya, or the saints, or whether it's the graves, or the trees, or the rocks, or the stones, or the wind, or the water, or the animals, whatever it may be, anything that's worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal is falsehood and not worthy worship. La ilaha ghayruka. La ilaha ghayruka ya Allah. Then there is no true God who is worthy of worship, who is worshipped in right and in truth in the heavens, nor in the earth except for you, O Allah. Except for you, O Allah. This supplication here is amazing. In reality, and it consists of Tawheed. And this supplication is pure Tawheed. And the first parts of the supplication are the proof and evidence for the last part. And the Tawheed is based upon negation and affirmation. There is no Tawheed except with negation and affirmation. And likewise, believing properly in the names and attributes of Allah, which is from the Tawheed of Allah, is based upon negation and affirmation. And this is what this statement consists of. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. The first part is negation and the second part is affirmation. To glorify Allah, to make the tanzih, to make the tasbih, to glorify Allah from every fault and every deficiency and every weakness and every need, to free him from every partner and from every aspect. This is negation, an absolute negation. And وَبِحَمْدِكَ, this is affirmation, affirming the praise for Allah, meaning affirming the attributes of perfection, affirming all of the attributes of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever from any aspect. So this is the proper way to believe in Allah. To believe in Allah, meaning that we believe in Allah and that which He has described Himself with in His book, or that which His Messenger has described Him with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without denying any of those meanings or changing them, or distorting them, or resembling them to the creation, or liking them to anything in the creation, and also without asking how the reality of those attributes are. Without asking how the reality of those attributes are. بِغَيْرِ تَحْرِيفٍ وَلَا تَمْثِيلٍ وَبِغَيْرِ تَكْيِيفٍ وَلَا تَعْثِيلٍ. We believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla and that which He has described Himself with in this manner, without distorting the meanings, without changing the meanings, and without resembling His attributes to the creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise, without asking how, nor with denying them. Rather, we affirm all of those attributes that Allah has affirmed for Himself, and that His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has affirmed for Himself in a manner befitting His Majesty. In a manner befitting His Majesty. This is what the author is telling us likewise in this term here. This is what this term is. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. And this is to believe properly in the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, that He is glorified and high, and that He is free above every defect and every weakness, and having any partner whatsoever. He's free from all of that. And He has the attributes of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever from any aspect. So therefore, That which this requires and necessitates is that one, he must believe and say, وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ, that there is nothing worthy of worship beside you. That there is nothing worthy of worship beside you. So therefore, you bring after the tasbih and the tamheed, now you bring the tahleel. This is the evidence for that. Because Allah, He's glorified, He's high and lofty, He has no deficiency, no weakness, no fault whatsoever. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, all of His attributes are attributes of beauty and perfection. in the ultimate sense with no deficiency whatsoever. So therefore, he is the one who's worthy of worship alone, and everything that is worshipped besides him is falsehood, because no one has the attributes that he has of perfection. And no one is free from mistake and from error from every aspect except for Allah. No one has the attributes of perfection except for Allah. No one is the creator and provider and sustainer except for Allah. No one has authority and command over this entire creation, even our very own souls, except for Allah. So therefore, when he will say, وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ, there's nothing worthy of worship except for you. And there's nothing worthy of worship except for you. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ, يعني لا معبود بحقٍ غَيْرُكَ. And this is the call of all of the prophets and messengers. This point here. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. To come to this realization that there's no true God worthy of worship beside you. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. And indeed we have sent in every nation. A messenger proclaiming to worship Allah alone and to avoid and stay away from all of the false gods worship besides Allah. And every prophet and messenger, whenever he came to his ummah, the first thing he would say to them, يَا قَوْمِ أُعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُم مِّن إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُ. O my people, worship Allah. مَا لَكُم مِّن إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُ. You have no true God worthy of worship besides for Him. This is this meaning here. وَلَا إِلَٰهَ غَيْرُ. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ وَلَا إِلَٰهَ غَيْرُكَ. وَلَا إِلَٰهَ غَيْرُكَ. So the beginning of this supplication is with التوحيد العلمي. And the closing of this supplication is with التوحيد العملي. التوحيد العملي. التوحيد العملي. So the supplication is all about التوحيد. For this reason, it has been mentioned in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِأَحَبِّ الْكِلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He said, should I not inform you of the most beloved speech to Allah? And then Abu Dharr, he said radiallahu anhu, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَكْبِرْنِي بِأَحَبِّ الْكِلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. He said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, inform me of the most beloved speech to Allah. فَقَالَ إِنَّ أَحَبَّ الْكِلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed the most beloved speech to Allah Azza wa Jal is Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. And in this statement here, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, I glorify you, O Allah. I glorify you, Allah, along with praising you. I glorify you, O Allah, along with praising you. Likewise, it has been mentioned, it has been collected by Imam Muslim as well from the hadith of Samurah ibn Jundub radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ الْكِلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَرْبَعَ, that the most beloved speech to Allah is four. The most beloved speech to Allah is four. Any four statements. Subhanallahi, وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. Any these four statements. Subhanallah, glorified are you, O Allah. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, all praise and thanks to you, O Allah. وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and there is no true God worthy of worship besides Allah. وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ, and Allah, He is greater. And Allah, He is greater, meaning greater than everything. Meaning greater than everything. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَضُرُّكَ بِأَيِّهِنَّ بَدَأْتَ. لَا يَضُرُّكَ بِأَيِّهِنَّ بَدَأْتَ. It will not harm you with any one of these that you begin with. And you can begin with Subhanallah. You can begin with Alhamdulillah. You could begin with Allahu Akbar. You could begin with La ilaha illallah. Any order that you say these four terms in, you have said it right. You have said it right. So these are the most beloved speech to Allah. The people of Nara's Bitchin, meaning from the speech of the people. And some word is likewise Afdal al-Kalam. Afdal al-Kalam, the most virtuous speech. Any meaning this here, the most virtuous speech from the speech of the people. Because it's known that the most virtuous speech is the speech of Allah. And the speech of Allah is not from the speech of the people. It's not from the speech of the people. So the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Quran, is the most virtuous and the best of all speech. And that is the speech of the Creator. And it is not created. But as for what is intended here, the most virtuous speech, any meaning from the speech of the people. Meaning from the speech of the people. Saying Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wallahu akbar. So these terms, they have very similar meanings, and one of them will require or necessitate the other if it's understood in the proper light. As we have seen, to glorify Allah Azza wa Jalla from every defect and from every error and deficiency and weakness and from having partners, this necessitates from that he has the attributes of perfection. That's a subhanallah. And then when you say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, to praise Allah Azza wa Jalla with love and magnification. And this means to affirm for him all of the attributes of perfection. And meaning that he does not have any deficiency whatsoever. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you say La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. That there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And likewise, this is also until whenever a person, he says Allahu Akbar. He says Allahu Akbar because Allah is greater than everything. Allah is greater than everything. Any attribute or anything in this life, Allah is greater than that. In His life, in His knowledge, in His wisdom, in His power, in His mercy, in His authority, in His command, in His punishment, in His retribution. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, from every aspect. So he's greater than everything because he has no deficiency, subhanAllah. And he's greater than everything because he has the attributes of perfection, alhamdulillah. And he's the only one who's worthy of worship, la ilaha illallah. The supplication that the author, he mentioned, this is from the Ad'iyya al-Istiftah. There are a number of them. There are a number of them. And this one here is from the shortest of them. The one that the author mentioned here. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarak asmuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruka. This is from the shortest of the supplications. But from the special traits or qualities, from the special traits and qualities of this supplication is that it consists of pure praises of Allah. The other supplications that have come from the istiftahat, the opening supplications and invocations in the beginning of the prayer, they consist of praising Allah, but also they consist of requesting from Allah one's needs and forgiveness and the likes like this. But this one here has no specific request. It has no specific request. And it has only praises of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So for this reason, Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, and other than him from the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that this one is preferable and better and more virtuous. And some of the people of knowledge had mentioned that. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he mentioned that, and he mentioned from 10 aspects. He mentioned from 10 or more aspects. And that this supplication is more better and virtuous. And Allah knows best if a person, he brought any one of them, then he had performed the sunnah, especially if he learned the meaning of that and he read it in his prayer while understanding what it means, yani, and able to act upon that, but it's recommended also for a believer to learn more than one of these istiftahat, yani to learn more than one of them. And there is another one likewise from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is in Bukhari and Muslim. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayai," until the end of the hadith, "Oh Allah, distance me from my sins," yani, and the likes, "and purify me from my sins and cleanse me from my sins." This supplication here, this opening supplication here, is all about seeking forgiveness and all about confessing one's own weaknesses, which also entails the confession that Allah, He is glorified and high, and He has no deficiencies, and that the command is in His hands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, also an indication of the legislation of Allah, and that a person has shortcomings in fulfilling those rights. But the point is that supplication is all about forgiveness. It's all about seeking forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jalla. There are other opening supplications likewise, and it's recommended for a believer to learn more than one of them, and to say one time and another time. But he will not combine them in one prayer. He will not combine them in one prayer. He will only say one in each prayer. But it's good to learn more than one of them and to change them from time to time. Because if not, sometimes he will be affected by that which has proceeded from the negligence or the heedlessness or forgetfulness in these actions of worship, and it will become like it's a custom for him. And he will begin to pronounce those words and say them without recollecting or reflecting on the meaning. But as for the one who one time he says one and then another time he changes and he says another, at this time changing this particular supplication from time to time helps him to remember to focus on the meaning, because now he's remembering to say a different supplication. So it's a great benefit in that, by following the sunnah and reviving the sunnah, and also trying to protect oneself from being heedless while performing this great rite, which is a salah. So to memorize more than one, this is best and this is better. But in any case, what he memorized, he will also learn the meanings. If he only learned one, it would suffice him, alhamdulillah. And if he learned this one, this is from the shortest and the easiest to memorize for those who are beginning the path of seeking knowledge and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author, he says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from the accursed devil. Meaning after You make this istiftah, this opening invocation. Now you say al-isti'adha. Now you say al-isti'adha. So that supplication, that's after the takbira, al-ihram, but before the qira'ah of the fatiha, comes al-istiftah. It's called al-istiftah. The supplication is called al-istiftah. It's the opening supplication. After that opening supplication, before reciting the Quran, before reciting the Fatiha, is another sunnah. The author is referring here. It's called al-istiadha. Al-istiadha. Al-istiadha is to say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim." A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. This is called al-istiadha. And al-istiadha likewise is from those terms, the statements that a believer he will learn and he will understand and he will state that in his life and throughout his day, in his prayer and outside of his prayer. In his prayer and outside of his prayer, but al-istiadha in reality is a great action of worship. It's an amazing affair in the life of a believer. And al-istiadha min ibadat al-ibadat al-qalbiyya. Al-ibadat al-qalbiyya. And likewise the tasbih, and also the tamheed, and also the tahleel and the takbir. These are also ibadat qalbiyya. A person, he says it with his tongue, but he has to say it with his heart. In this manner, he will benefit. So likewise, the istiadah, he will say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim." I seek refuge with Allah from the accursed devil. So he will say it with his tongue, but he will mean it in his heart. And he meaning in his heart that he believes in Allah, and he believes likewise in the devil that he cannot see. That he cannot see, and that devil is his clear enemy. And that devil is doing whatever he can to mislead him, and to detour him, and to slow him down on his path to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he cannot see him, but he can see him. And a person cannot see him, but he can see. We cannot see him, but he can see us. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. That indeed, the devil, he sees you, him and his tribesmen, from wherever, or him and his forces, from where you cannot see him. From where you cannot see him. So the only way to be safe from the devil, the only way to be safe from the plots of the devil, is to seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has authority over the devil, the one who has command over the devil. So this is a great action of worship. This is also something that should not be neglected. A person, he should not accustom himself to saying "A'udhu billah," but only with the tongue. No, he should accustom himself to saying that, but with his tongue in his heart. And meaning that he was literally in his heart, he will find that he has a need. He will find that he's in danger. He'll find that he's weak. He will find that he needs help, that there are things around him that he has no control of, and he cannot be safe from them whatsoever. He's completely helpless. And the only one who can help him and protect him is Allah. And the only one who can help him and protect him is Allah. This is al-istiadha. Al-istiadha is to seek refuge. Is to seek refuge. But to understand linguistically, a person, whenever he seeks refuge, meaning that whenever he's afraid of something, whenever he's afraid of something, he'll run to some place or somewhere or to someone whom he believes has the ability to protect him from what he's afraid of. So for example, whenever there's a great storm coming, many times a person, he will seek refuge in the shelter. That's why they call it a shelter. Because seeking refuge means to take shelter. It means to take shelter. So that whenever there's a great storm coming, many times people will go down in the basement, or they'll go into shelters that are underground, and they'll take shelter there. Because this is a place that normally will protect from the likes of these dangers. So they're seeking refuge down there. They're seeking refuge down there. Or if there are, for example, enemies, or there are criminals on the streets, a person here at nighttime, he'll seek refuge in his home by locking the doors and the likes, and taking the precaution to stay away from those criminals and away from those pathways and those avenues and the likes like that. So this is what it means. A person, he's afraid of something. He's afraid of an enemy. He's afraid of something that will harm him. And he goes to someone or somewhere that he believes will protect him and grant him refuge and shelter. So the only one who can truly grant refuge and shelter is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if a believer, he's faced with the likes of these affairs we have just mentioned, then he will take the physical means, but along with doing that, he's seeking refuge with Allah. He's seeking refuge with Allah. And this is the difference between a believer and a disbeliever. A disbeliever is going to run to the means, he's going to run to the shelter, but a believer is going to run to Allah first while he's on the way to the shelter. Before he even meets it to the shelter or to the basement, he's already seeking refuge in Allah, remembering Allah, the one who by his name all blessing is obtained and all safety and savior and good is obtained in this life. So to learn these terms, wallahi, is very beneficial. To learn these terms and to understand them, to say Allahu Akbar and know what it means, to say Allahu Akbar and to live upon that, to say La ilaha illallah and to know what it means, to say La ilaha illallah, to live upon that, to say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, to know what it means and to live upon that, Alhamdulillah, to know what it means and to strive to live upon that. to strive to live upon that. These terms here, they have meanings. These terms here, they have meanings. If a person, he learned the meanings of the likes of these terms and he implemented that in his life, you will find great change. Because these are terms of Tawheed. Tawheed will change your life. The only way to change your life is to have Tawheed. The only way to be safe from depression and from worry and from stress and anxiety and from the problems of this life and the trials and the challenges of life, the only way to deal with them truly is to have a Tawheed. Tawheed is the cure for all diseases. And whenever it comes into the heart, all falsehood and all evil and the love of everything besides Allah will go away. Will go away, and all the diseases, they'll go away, all the problems, they will go away, all of the issues, they'll go away, all the challenges become facilitated. He'll be able to deal with them because he has Tawheed. He knows that this is the creation of Allah, and it's in the commands and the hands of Allah, and he's the most wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we are all slaves. So therefore, he will submit to the decree of Allah, whatever it is. If he decreed something good, then he will show thanks to Allah. And if he decreed some hardship or difficulty, then he'll be patient in the face of that and seek forgiveness for his sins. And so he will be good by learning about these affairs. Any to learn the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are these terms here. These are these terms here. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. To seek refuge with Allah from the accursed devil. Some of the salaf, they would say, they would say, عَدُوٌ يَرَكَ وَلَا تَرَاهُ شَدِيرٌ مُؤْنَى. An enemy who sees you but you cannot see him, he's hard to deal with. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.